Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. And I've come here today to tell you, Second Mile Church, no matter who the giant is, no matter what form, fashion, or shape they come to you in, victory is but a stone's throw away. I said victory is but a stone's throw away. Let's look at the scriptures now. 1 Samuel 17. Let's honor God's word if you can by standing. Verse 4. You all know this is a very familiar story, but don't you dare check out on it. Every time you read the Bible, you'll get something fresh. And a champion, verse 4, 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me, and if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Craig Nelson asked God to bless the preaching and the teaching of his word this morning. Would you, brother? Amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to be honest with you. I want to give credit where credit's due. The outline I'm using today is Dr. James Merritt's outline. And it's far better than any outline I could have come up with. Now, the message is pretty much mine, but I wanted to use his outline. Whenever you use somebody else's stuff, you need to give them credit for it, okay? And here's the first point, the first truth of the message, is that when you're facing a giant in your life, we must have the courage to step up to the fight. We must have the courage to step up for the fight. Now, y'all got the picture, right? I mean, the Valley of Elah. You remember Billy and Carol being in the Valley of... I think Carol brought some rocks and some stones home. They're in the back in the children's building from the Valley of Elah. We were there, and I'm sure Melanie saw that place too. She was there last year. And by the way, I hope we can all go together someday, maybe in 2020 to Israel. And if you're saved and born again, you're definitely going to Israel. You're going to wind up on the Mount of Olives, and that's another sermon. But the Valley of Elah is about 15 miles west of Bethlehem. And you had the Philistines on one mountain, and you had the Israelites on the other mountain, and you got this valley in between. And God raises up a young 16-year-old teenage, wet behind the ears, freckle-faced, strawberry-headed shepherd boy named David. The Bible says that God is not like man. He doesn't look at the outward appearance of a man. He looks at the heart of a man or a woman. And I want to tell you, as we face our giants, God's looking at your heart today. And so David had some older brothers. And three of his older brothers were at the war that was being waged in this atmosphere of hostility and hatred between these two armies down in the Valley of Elah. And so David's dad, Jesse, wanted his shepherd boy, his shepherd son, his teenage boy, to go to the battlefield to go and check on how his brothers were doing, how his sons were doing. And so he gives David some roasted grain and some 10 loaves of bread and some cheeses, and he sends David off to go find out how the battle's going. And so David gets down to camp, and he senses a spirit of anxiety and fear amongst the army of God. And here's why he senses this anxiety and fear. The Philistines had a giant of a man. This cat was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was 9 foot 9 inches. Whale of a man. And this was a trained fighting man as well. He had a bronze helmet, and his armor weighed 175 pounds, just his armor. And he had a huge sword and a spear and a javelin, and the tip of that spear weighed 25 pounds. He had a shield bearer with this huge shield that would go before him. And so day after day, you remember what Dr. Merritt, how he described Goliath? He said, this guy made the Incredible Hulk look like a puny punk. And so verse 11 there that we just read reveals, in verse 24 of chapter 17, reveals that the Israelite army was struck by fear. Every time this giant came down in the valley to challenge Israel in a winner-take-all match, the Philistine heavyweight champion, if you will, would challenge every single day the Israelite army. You choose a man. If he defeats me, we'll be your servants. And if I defeat him and kill him, then you're going to be our servants. And this went on, the Bible says, how many days? 40 days. 40 days. Now, 40 in the Bible is a very significant number. But what God's trying to tell us here is that the giants that we face are not going away. You're not going to be able to sweep them up underneath the rug. They're not going anywhere. And you've got to deal with them. Is anybody with me? You're going to have to face those giants. I don't know what kind of giant it is that you're up against, but you've got to have the courage to step up to the fight. Now, having said that, I want to say this. If God be for us, who can be against us? If Helen, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I mean, our God is with us. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. He is always with us. And God has what we need. Now, I believe just like Gideon and a few weeks ago, God wanted to be sure little David gets the victory, but God wants to get the glory. And so David has the courage to step up to the fight. I mean, he's livid. He shows up at camp and he senses the fear of the army of God. And he's like, who is this heathen, pagan, Philistine that has not only blasphemed the name of our God, but he has defied the army of God? Who is this cat? He's a nobody. Where did that courage come from? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse 33, which leads to our second point. Not only must, in facing the giants in our life, not only do we need the courage to step up to the fight, we need the confidence to step out for the fight. Look at verse 33. Now, let me back up to 32, I'm sorry. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth and he's a man of war from his youth. Now, you know, I believe Goliath really wanted to fight King Saul. Because King Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else in his army. But King Saul was like everybody else. He was scared to death. He didn't want to fight. As a matter of fact, he'd even bribed the soldiers. If any man will fight this giant and kill him, then guess what? I'm going to make you a rich man. I'm going to give you the hand of my daughter, and you're never going to have to pay another tax for the rest of your life as long as you live in Israel. Who wouldn't that be getting? No more taxes. Have we heard that before? Well, anyways. And so David gets a bad taste in his mouth of what's going on here. He's filled with righteous rage and can't believe that the army of God does not have the courage that they need and they don't have the confidence that they need. But David does. You see, the Israelites, y'all, every time this giant stepped down into the valley, can you imagine the sun coming off of all that brass on this? I mean, it blinded the Israelites. And then they heard this deep bass voice, "Israel, choose a man." But you see, the Israelites were looking at Goliath and realized, he's so much bigger than we are, there's no way we can win. But David looked at Goliath and saw how small he was when he was comparing him to his God. David was God-dominated, not giant-dominated. And that's where his confidence and his courage began to stem from. But not only that, David goes and said, "Tell me where the king's at. I'll get this issue settled." And so he goes to find King Saul, and he finds him. And when Saul finally realizes that David's got a bad case, "I can't help it. There's nothing he can do to talk this boy out of fighting this giant." He says, "Okay." Look what David says in verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Does that sound like confidence to you? You see, he not only had courage and confidence, David had a flashback. And he began to think about past victories in his life and how God had delivered him time and again. You see, David was responsible for his daddy's sheep. And one day, a bear had attacked the sheep, and David killed that bear. And then one day, a lion attacked his dad's sheep. You know what David did? He grabbed the mane of that lion and smacked that lion upside the head and killed the lion. And he said, and did David give himself the credit? No, he gave God the credit. He gave God the glory. He said, "Even as God has been with me in the past and given me victories, God will be with me today." And he begins to give God glory before the fights even take place. Look at verse 37. "Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." In other words, there's nothing I can do with this nutcase. He's going to go out here and it's going to be over in a New York second. And it'll all be over with in a flash. So Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head. And he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I can't walk with these things, for I've not even tested them." So David took them off. So Saul said, "The least I can do is give you some armor. You don't go against a Goliath with a shepherd's staff. You need some armor." So he tries to put this armor on David, and then this big long sword, and attaches it, and David just tripping all over the room. And so finally he takes all the armor off, and he said, "I'll just use what God's given me." 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And the church needs to hear that today. Our weapons are not worldly. We don't use worldly weapons to whip the giants in our life. Billy did a great job teaching those wonderful pieces of armor that we're to put on and pick up out of Ephesians chapter 6. Folks, those are for facing the giants. And I like what Zechariah 4:6 says. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so David was filled with the Spirit of God. He was just encaptured by the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. And he knew that God would be with him, even as God had been with him in the past. How many of y'all could say the Lord's been with me? Just think back about all those times you were in trouble and your life was in a mess. Was God there? Yes, he was there. Bible says he even goes to the grave. You'll find him there. God's been with Maria. I'm thinking about you today. God was with you every step of the way. And you heard her powerful testimony 2 weeks ago. I want to tell you, just look back at how God has delivered you time and time and time again in the past. Well, here's the giant that's facing you today. He's not going to run off and leave you. He's with you.
Amen. Amen, brother. Tell
us. Now, I don't understand everything, but I know this. You can have courage and you can have confidence to not only step up to the fight when the giant comes, but you can step out for the fight when the giant comes. If you'll just remember, I meant to share this. Would y'all look at verse 47? Now David's in the middle of the fight with the giant, but look what he does. Verse 47. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you... Let me tell you something, folks. When you're facing a giant and you're in a struggle with some giant of a problem, it's his battle. Let him fight that battle. And he fights for us. You know, when we're coming back with the Lord at the second coming, and the Bible says he's going to dismount off of that great white horse, and his feet are going to be planted on the top of the Mount of Olives, and then he's going to go down into that valley of Megiddo, and he's going to speak a word, and it'll all be over. And I'm just silly enough to think if God will fight for us then, he'll fight for you right now. The battle is the Lord's. And did you notice this? Look, there's so much truth in this passage of Scripture. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But listen to this, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. There's power in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. And so that leads us to this third transitional statement. We not only have to have courage to step up for the fight and the confidence to step out for the fight, we've got to have the commitment to step into the fight. Now remember, it's the Lord's battle. All you've got to be willing to do is just, here I am. May God be glorified. Whatever you want to do, Lord, this is your fight, this is your battle. And I'm going to give you the glory for it. Are y'all ready for some more?
Amen.
I am. This is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Verse 40. He took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Now I've heard preacher after preacher talk about these 5 stones. I even heard a preacher say one time, well, the reason he chose 5 stones is so if he missed with the first one, he had 4 more chances. 2 Samuel 21 and verse 22 says that Goliath had 4 sons. And you know what David's thinking? After I get the giant with the first one, if his sons have any guts and they show up in the valley, they're going to get some too. He's committed to this thing. He's committed. He's ready. And now get this. Goliath sees this puny little 16-year-old teenage boy who doesn't even have a spear or a sword or a grenade or a bomb or a gun or anything like that. All he's got is a sling. Now, y'all, it's not one of those slingshots like all of us boys used to have. You know, and you pull back on it like that and boom, you let it go. This was a sling. it had two long strips of leather coming off a little bitty pouch. And you'd place the stone in that pouch, and then you'd grab the end of the leather strips, and you'd begin to swing that thing like this. And I want to tell you, David was a Bethlehem sharpshooter with that thing. And then he would let go of it like this, one end of it, and then the stone would go wherever you wanted it to go, at least if you were good with one of those. Ooh, listen to this. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to God. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy. And that carries with it being kind of redheaded. It's not a bad thing to have red hair, y'all. There's always one. And saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And so Goliath's taking these big steps down in the valley towards David. He's cursing David and David's God. Can you imagine? Have you got the picture? Now look at old David. And verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take your head from you. And this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." See, he's giving glory to God. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands." So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David's running towards this giant. He's not backing up. He's not crawfishing. He's going straight for that giant. This is a good word for us, isn't it? So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. We got to have the commitment to step into the fight. David's listening to this cursing, heathen, pagan, Philistine heavyweight champion. And David's committed to whatever God's going to do. God's going to be glorified. And he comes to Goliath in the name of the Lord. And while he's running, he pulls a stone out of that shepherd's bag, puts it in that sling, and begins to whirl that sling around like this. And then with great skill and tenacity, he lets go of one end. And that rock, that stone hit the Philistine right smack dab in the middle of the forehead. How many of you have ever heard that big boys, when they fall hard? And he went, I think Doc said that dud went down like with a thud in the mud. And he, boom, he went down. David dropped him like a bad habit. Lights out. Game over. David got the victory. And who gets the glory? God does. And then now picture this. David doesn't have a sword. And so here's Goliath laying there dead. And so he grabs the giant's sword and he... whoosh, and then he picks up the head of Goliath and looks at the Philistine army and raises that head. And all the Philistines flee in fear. And the Israelite army shouted, "Glory to God!" and took off down the mountain through the valley and chased them and won the victory that day. And because of a 16-year-old teenage boy and his faith in the Lord, that God would get the glory no matter what happened, Goliath and the Philistines were defeated. I don't know who you're up against today. I don't know about the giant in your life, but I know you got one. And if you don't, he's coming. And if you'll do like David, and just think back on the times that God has delivered you, and how He has been with you in times past and helped you to have those smaller victories, and He's prepared you for such a time as this, that you might have victory today. Not just 10 years ago. Forget about the glory days. Just learn that God's with you in the past and He's going to be with you right now. And when you step into the battle and you're committed to the Lord's glory for whatever happens, good or bad, God's going to get the glory for this, and you'll use God's name. And you'll lift it up. Somebody told me last week, Mike, that Mike Smith, that cancer beat Mike Smith. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe Mike Smith whipped cancer. He's in glory today. Proverbs 18, I believe it's 18:10, says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Now, you can't use God. But if you just follow what the Scripture says and believe that God's going to be glorified in this situation, and you'll just speak the name, you got a giant in your life of addiction, just speak the name Jesus. If you've got an old giant of jealousy and pride attacking you, just speak the name Jesus. If you've got cancer or some giant of sickness or suffering, just speak the name Jesus. If you're facing surgery or you've got an unknown, just speak the name of Jesus. If you've been rejected and you're in the midst of a broken relationship and that giant is attacking you, just speak the name Jesus. There's something about that name. And when we run to Him, knowing that God's going to bring glory upon Himself, how can we lose? Now, what I didn't read about and tell you about is David took the skull or the head of Goliath. And oftentimes when you defeated an enemy, you would hang that head on the gate of your city so that everybody could know the enemy was defeated. And that's what he did with Goliath's head. And Jewish tradition and tells us, Billy, I dug and found this out, that years later, months later, David took that skull and buried it outside of Jerusalem in a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that happened or not, but it sounds good, doesn't it? I've come here today to tell you, whoever it is, if you'll just look back on your life and see how God's brought you through in times past, that'll inspire and instill faith for you to be able to be committed to step into the fight. And if you call on Jesus, He'll show up in the midst of the fight. By the way, this fight was fixed from the beginning. With David and Goliath. Goliath thought he was fighting David. Goliath was fighting God. It's the Lord's battle. See? Are y'all getting it? If you'll remember those past victories, and you'll be willing, God, I don't understand all this. I can't whip this giant in my life. I sure can't defeat him or her in all my. But Lord, I promise I'm going to give you glory for no matter what happens. And I'm going to lift up Jesus in this circumstance and situation. You will get the victory. Amen. Maybe not how you expected to get it, but God will give you the victory and He will get the glory. Lean in. Lean in. I've come here today to tell you, victory is just a stone's throw away. Father, we've all got giants in our life. We've all got problems. And Lord, I think about David this morning and the tremendous faith he had and how you used him in a tough situation. And I pray your blessings on him. We're going to see David, but better than that, we're going to see King Jesus one day soon. And there's folks that are here this morning and they're facing a giant of a problem. And Lord, in David's trophy case in his tent, your word says that he had King Saul's armor, probably had the paw of a bear and the mane of a lion. When people came into his tent, what are these, David? And David would respond, well, these were just some problems I had in the past that remind me that every one of them was a possibility to bring glory to my God. Lord, help us to understand that every problem we've got is an opportunity to bring glory to our great Savior. And we just want to open this altar up this morning, Father, for the children of God to be obedient to what you want to do in their lives. Let our yes be yes. Encourage us, strengthen us for the battle. And we just want to stand and watch your glory go to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.